Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
I'm going to start with this parable of the shrewd manager. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. When you discover that there's a fraud in a business or in a household or in a government or whatever, you know pretty clearly that there's an issue of loyalty here. There's an issue of what is the primary devotion of a person's life. If you are loyal to your company, devoted to your employer, you'll do your job as well as you can. That doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that there won't be problems along the way, but it won't be because you're trying to defraud them. But this is a manager who was defrauding his employer. His employer was not his master. What was this fellow interested in? What was he really devoted to? We can ask that of a lot of people who do wrong things, who betray others, who don't follow through on their responsibilities. And very often we come to the conclusion that the one thing they're devoted to is themselves. And this shrewd manager is certainly someone devoted to himself. He goes, having been told that he's going to be losing his job, he uses his last hours in the workplace to serve himself even more boldly than he had before. I know that these days, I was working for a company where we worked in an office environment, and the company decided that they weren't going to continue to work to operate in Ottawa anymore, so they were shutting down the office. But I know that they must have read Luke 16, because after the meeting where we were told we didn't have jobs anymore, they escorted us, each one, back to our desk, presumably because they weren't sure that there weren't some people that might not grab a piece of equipment or take some kind of revenge on the company for laying them off. So everybody was escorted back to their desk to get their personal possessions, and then they went to a room and talked with the HR people about all the forms they had to sign, and then they were escorted from the building, and that was that. In these days, it seems a reasonable precaution. And perhaps the rich man who fired this manager was kind of face-palming himself for not having directly delivered the message to the manager and making sure that he had stripped him of all capacity to continue to act in the authority of the rich man. Because this man went out with the books and he conspired with the people who were in debt to the rich man and said, listen, if you change your receipt there, your invoice, I'll change the records here in the ledger. And that way you'll be enriched by impoverishing my soon-to-be former employer. The master actually commended his employee. You know, sometimes people are so good at being bad, you kind of have to give them like a little bit of credit. My goodness, you really, really suckered me here. And Jesus, in a backhanded way, commends this fellow. Because that fellow used all his initiative and creativity and energy to serve the one that he was devoted to, himself. And he says, people of the kingdom don't always show that kind of initiative, that kind of commitment, that kind of creativity in serving the kingdom that they say they're devoted to. That's because, Jesus says, we're often serving two masters. Yeah, it's true. Although the kingdom of heaven is our stated focus, although serving Jesus is the first thing in our life, we'll say, we often have a list of secondary things that become primary whenever the need arises. And Jesus says you can't do it that way. You can't serve two masters. Either you will love one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to the other and despise the first. You can't love God and money, he says, but you could equally say you can't be devoted to God and be devoted to anything else as well. Our devotion is a singular thing. That is, devotion can't be in fractions. Kind of devoted here, kind of devoted there. In fact, the word devotion was used for those sacrifices in the Old Testament that were entirely consumed by fire. They were devoted to God, and to ensure that they weren't used for any other purpose, they were completely burned to ashes. That idea that it can't be half God's and half someone else's when it's devoted to God is clear. And in fact, I would say that a lot of our problems in life come from not being sure where our heart lies, where our devotion is. You see, there are several things that prevent us from being fully devoted to anything. One thing is hedging our bets. There are some people who certainly want an eternity in heaven, but just in case they've miscalculated on that, they want to have plenty of comfort on earth as well. There are people who want to serve God, but not because they love God, but because they want to be seen by others to be a good fellow. And they're not as concerned about being good as being seen as good. So their devotion to God, while they give God good lip service, is really just a part of being devoted to themselves. I think that's what we see in the Old Testament reading today when Ezekiel is given some words to speak to the people of Israel, where they're saying, hey, wait a second, we're good religious people, we're good sons of Abraham, why don't we have possession of the land? And the response that God gives to Ezekiel is, you're disobeying every law I've ever given you. Should you possess the land? You're oppressing the poor among you. Should I give you guys possession of the land? You're doing violence and you're being unfaithful. You're not devoted to anything related to the things that Abraham was devoted to. Why should you possess the land? And then he says to Ezekiel, I feel bad for you. Because here's what the people are saying. They say, let's go to the prophet and hear some nice stuff and we'll all be encouraged and comforted. But they'll listen to you and their mouths will speak of devotion, but they won't do a thing you tell them to do. Ezekiel was probably going, yeah, I noticed. The people were not devoted to God. Their religion was a devotion to themselves. Ouch. Does that ever happen in the modern age? Thankfully, no, we got rid of that entirely, right? No, it's still there. Devotion to God is a unity. Can't be divided. And yet we find ourselves divided over and over again. Kierkegaard wrote a book as a Christian philosopher. And from his perspective, he the title of the book really said so much of what he had to say about being a faithful Christian. He said, to be pure of heart is to will one thing. See, a divided heart wants a whole bunch of things. And a divided heart is always juggling priorities, always trying to figure out how to keep all the balls in the air. But a pure heart that desires the kingdom of God lets that kingdom, lets the rule of God, lets the wisdom of God ordain every other priority. It's not a question of trying to figure out how to keep two separate things going, but it's how everything is lined up under the devotion to God. So some people will say, I have three priorities. I have God, family, and country, or God, country, and family, or country, family, and God. And they may mean well by it, but very often they're simply declaring that their heart is divided in three ways. And sometimes they'll choose their family over country. Sometimes they'll choose God over family. Sometimes they'll choose country over God. They will be confused about what's the right thing to do because these three different priorities are calling and pulling them in different directions. And they'll try to give a little piece to each of them. But no one can serve three masters if no one can serve two. So our divided priorities are part of what the problem is. And what we need to understand is that when we are devoted to God, then God orders all the other priorities. So Paul is able to say to Titus, devote yourselves to these several things, because they're the very things that God is calling them to do. The goodness, the love, the instruction of others, the comfort and care for others, the whole of the Word of God with its many different emphases are all ordered under devotion to God. You don't have to choose between whether you're going to do, whether your love impels you to do this good or that good. You do the good that God has called you to do. It's the one direction in your life is God, who through his wisdom, his spirit, his word, directs every other aspect. This is why Jesus is able to teach over and over again that unless you love God more than your family, more than your wife or your children, or your father and mother, then you can't really serve the kingdom of God. But if you're devoted to God, and knowing, as we surely do, that God loves your family, God loves your parents, God wants you to honor your parents, God wants you to be loving towards your wife or your husband, God wants you to be a good example and a good help to your children, that is the right priority when we are what we are because God tells us that's what we're to be. It doesn't mean that the Christian abandons family or friends or country, but it does mean that the way they serve their family and their friends and their country will be directed by a higher power. It does sometimes lead to division because people close to you don't want to go the same way that God is leading you. But that's not a lack of love on your part. It's their failure to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind that causes the division, not your love for God. We're divided in priorities when we are try to be devoted to two things, when we try to serve ourselves and God, when we try to serve our fears or protect ourselves from fears and anxieties instead of trusting that to God. We're divided in our priorities. But we also simply are not in control of ourselves entirely. Isn't that one of the things that you face as you try to serve God? You try to do your devotions in the morning and you just don't feel like it. You want to, but you don't. Paul describes it as the very thing I want to do, I do not do. But the thing I don't want to do is the very thing I do. If Paul the Apostle is able to express that torment of being torn between what your will is and what your experience and what your capacity is, then you too can take some comfort in knowing that a godly man like Paul shares your frustration. You see, we don't always do what we want to do. We may have it in our mind to be totally devoted to God, but old habits rear up, hesitations. Just as Jesus said to the sleeping disciples when they were supposed to be praying with him, he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." It's really amazing to have God comfort the disciples, not simply accuse them of being slackers, but to say, "Yeah, you wanted to do it, you just couldn't." Sometimes that's our situation, and that's where we find ourselves needing to grow in character, grow in self-control, grow in the capacity to do the very things that our spiritual life is calling us to do. So we fail in devotion both because we try to be devoted to more than one thing. There's a trust issue there. Do you trust God with everything? Do you trust God to provide for your daily needs? Do you trust God to deal with the persecution that you've experienced or the troubles you've faced? Do you trust God to take care of your family, even if his calling calls you to take risks that you fear, that cause you to fear for the well-being or the provision of your family? I've known people who've had to pull up stakes and move to where they didn't know what they were going to do. Just like Abraham. Just like Abraham, who was told, "Go to the place that I will show you." So he pulled up, uprooted his whole family and moved. That was an act of trust. And the devotion that he was able to show to God in that matter reflected the degree of faith he had in God. There were other times when Abraham couldn't trust God or wouldn't trust God. He was concerned for his own security in Egypt, so he pretended that he wasn't married to his wife so that nobody would try to eliminate him in order to be able to take his wife as theirs. It created a great deal of trouble and confusion, and he did it more than once because he was subject to fear. When you're devoted to God, you are subject to him. That is to say, you hear what he has to say, you seek his word, you seek his direction, and you submit to his direction. That's a choice where you're subject to something by choice. But there are, in our lives, those things we're subject to, but not by choice. Sometimes we're subject to force. That's a rare thing in my experience in Canada, but in some parts of the world, forceful people will take control of other people's lives. Sometimes it'll be the police of some nation. Sometimes it'll be the armies. Sometimes it'll be just the powerful in an organization. Have you ever been in an employment situation where somebody was using a great deal of power and force to make other people do things the way they wanted rather than the way they should have been done? We're sometimes subject to things. We're subject to things within our own physicality, the chemicals and pheromones and the imbalances of our neurology and so on. Sometimes we're subject to our history. We're kind of enslaved by memories that continue to turn us down the wrong path. That's a hard part about devotion. Sometimes the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So what do we do about that? I do believe that the path that we're on as a congregation, where we're learning the process of growing in character, is going to help us overcome that. And we're going to be able to find more self-control and be able to submit ourselves willfully to God rather than being subjected to these other forces. But we're also going to receive from God healing in the areas we've been wounded. Just as someone who has got a bad knee is restricted from going the way they'd like to go and running the way they'd like to run, sometimes our past has hobbled us and lamed us, and we need healing from God in order to be able to overcome that disability, whether it comes to loving or forgiving or serving. And we can have our devotion better put into effect when the flesh is cured and healed of its disability. I encourage you to ask yourself that question of how devoted you are to God. But I really want to conclude by speaking of how devoted God is to you. You see, throughout the history of humanity, there's been this problem in the world. The problem described in Ezekiel, the problem described in the reading from Titus, people who are not devoted to God, but are devoted to all kinds of destructive ways. And God has had patience through the years with each person, through the generations, with each one of us, as we've drifted, as we've turned deliberately away from God, as we've helplessly thrashed, trying to find direction. God has patiently and kindly reached out to us. He's reaching out now with His Word, with His Holy Spirit. God has shown that He's willing to repair what is broken rather than toss out the broken people. God has shown that He is devoted to your well-being by providing the sun to warm you, the rain to grow your crops. He's provided for you whether you've been following Him or not. Here you are today. Have you been through hardship? Have you been through difficulty? And here you are today. God has been watching out for you. And more than that, He sent His Son Jesus. Jesus literally gave His life in devotion to you. That God was devoted to saving you from sin, to saving you from destruction, to setting you free from the things to which you are subject, and to set you into the freedom of a life filled with the grace and the peace and the love of God. So God is devoted to you. If you ever get frustrated with your own level of devotion and think, oh, I'm never going to make it, it's a common enough thing. We all experience that. But what we have in the Word of God and through the continual ministry of the Spirit of God is God saying, I've got this. I am committed to your salvation. I'm committed to bringing you through this and bringing you to true life. So whenever you think about devotion, don't merely get fed up with how divided your heart is. Think about the unity of God's devotion to you. His great love, His everlasting and faithful grace. Let's pray. Almighty God, it is to You we bring ourselves as seeking to be devoted to You, as wanting to surrender all, but knowing that that's going to take a lot of work on Your part to bring us to the place where we can even do that. So here we are in Your hands, Lord. Thankful that You're devoted to us, that there is no division in You, but You have wholly given Yourselves to our salvation. And so we trust You, and we wait upon You, and we turn to You, so that one day our devotion might be as pure and clear and perfect as Yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Join together as we reflect on the message today. I invite you to sing this song, My Jesus, I Love You. And sometimes I sing this song and I feel conviction that maybe I don't love Jesus as much as the author of this song did. But other times I live in the hope that the love that I have for Jesus is matched by such a greater love in Him. So let's sing, My Jesus, I Love You.
and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.